Kunal Patel has worked several years in Orlando startups. Now he's focusing on video games with organizations like IndieNomicon and the Orlando Game Space in downtown Orlando. We talked to him a little bit about startups, and here's what he had to say. Hello, everybody. This is Starting Up Florida, and we are coming to you from Orlando Game Space, which is a co-working space for video games and other types of people. I'm with Kunal Patel, who, you know, I don't even know how to introduce you because I know you are an entrepreneur that's kind of starting this thing. You were also a worked with Fat Merchant for a while. Mm-hmm. You have IndieNomicon. You have the space Indie Galactic Space Jam. My first question is, how the hell do you balance all that? First of all, I mean, can you talk to me about like just being always busy?
Well, you start this in your 20s, and then it's just a basis of like you have a lot of free time on your hands, and you take it all on, maybe that's the genesis of a lot of it.
Right.
But then over time, you grow older, you have more things that come onto your plate, you end up having to focus in on certain things, you try to be more strategic. You know, also there's like batching things mm-hmm, together, mm-hmm. You know, so like, you know, working with say Fat Merchant, you know, I would spend like entire days on just things that they're doing. And then, right. You know, I would like allocate other days for other things that I'm working on, or like I would save things for the weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And then on top of it, you don't do it alone. Right. You have a team. So like that also makes a difference that mm-hmm. you're able to like identify what it is you have to do to grow certain things. And can you delegate some of it off,
right.
You know, to other teammates, other people on your board? That kind of stuff has taken some time to
right.
To figure out who are the right people. And
now you've been doing this a while, but still, yeah. You're still kind of in the mode of like
yeah.
trying to build and mm-hmm. trying to grow, right? I mean, you know, yeah. tell me a little bit about GameSpace. So let me just give a quick kind of primer. For people out there who don't know, it's essentially it's a co-working space
yeah.
That is primarily kind of small video game companies. That's kind of your background and your passion, right?
Yeah.
And you also, you know, you're able to use your gaming development skills and also teach a team of those to use their skills for other types of projects. I mean, talk about GameSpace and how it came together. This is not a commercial for GameSpace, I'm interested though because I think. A lot of times people, startups want to know how to kind of get something off the ground and keep it fresh.
So, you know, there's like, lots of different schools of thought in terms of like how you build something or how you execute something, or what is a distraction, what is not a mm-hmm. distraction, and how much effort you put into things. So like, you know, the way I see it is that really when I take a look at the journey over the past 5 years,
mm-hmm.
You know, a lot of things, though they initially seem like they're all separate things, they all lead into one thing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they all lead into, you know, kind of the same funnel. And the game space, the Orlando game space, kind of serves as this, I guess, like connective tissue,
mm-hmm.
You know, that glue that ties a lot of things together.
Right.
And, you know, like, if you go towards IndieNomicon, this the community of the game development studios.
IndieNomicon, for those out there who don't know, is basically a group
mm-hmm.
of indie game developers that got together several years back and started meeting once a month,
yeah.
trying putting out events and just kind of building camaraderie and that kind
exactly,
of
thing. Exactly, yeah. Monthly meetups, and yeah. it's now over 5 years.
Mm-hmm.
Now, that's the entire community. Mm-hmm. It's totally free. Anybody can show up, you know, whether you're a real professional game developer or not, you're an enthusiast and all that kind of stuff. But, you know, you have rock stars next to the hobbyists, mm-hmm. next to the people who have never done anything in their lives. Like, you know, so there's all of that. And you know, how do you get from that, like, broadest, you know, community where it's open to everybody and anybody can get into it, to something like the Orlando Game Space,
mm-hmm.
where it's a co-working facility dedicated towards game developers
right.
and emerging tech, so kind of like AR and VR and all the things that go into that. And the thing is, like, more and more we see that gaming technologies crosses into every industry. I mean, it crosses into fintech, it
right.
crosses into
right.
like, you know, training, it crosses into like, you know, lots of things. And you know, the game space, it was kind of like, well, okay, you meet these people at Indomicon one day a week.
Mm-hmm.
What happens the other 29 days?
Right.
You know, like, when you think about the struggle that goes into, like, building a real company with the real products and real services and be doing it well, like, operating efficiently,
yeah.
Reducing your overheads, reducing your costs, finding the right partners to work with.
What I find interesting about this whole group is, so the last several weeks, and I've, you know, last couple of years anyway, or last several years, I've talked to startups, and when I meet with them, obviously for the show, it's a one-on-one conversation, but many times you meet with them, you talk to them, and they tell you kind of the problems that they're facing, and kind of some of the things that they're running into, and how they're overcoming them, or how they fear they may not overcome them.
Yeah.
Here, it seems like, you have those same stories, but like times 20, where yeah. like you almost like you're all kind of facing the same or similar obstacles, I imagine, as you're trying to grow the business.
Right.
You know, this is a company, or pardon me, this is a podcast about startups, and you know, game companies are startups initially until you become like Electronic Arts, right, or until you become a big company. You know, we've seen a couple companies in town even that we thought, you know, had it made, then they end up shutting down because one thing goes wrong.
Yeah.
Whether it was the economy or something else or something external. You know, when you do, but these are like the stories. How do you kind of make sure that you are positive or confident, or obviously you guys are realistic about what's happening, but how do you balance that, making sure people understand that startups are not easy, especially in the game world? I say especially in the game world because everybody wants to make their own game company nowadays, but not many will make it.
Yeah.
How do you keep them, or how do you keep motivated when you do face that every day?
Well, part of it is just, like, making certain that people keep hearing, like, the latest stories of progress from each other.
Right?
Like, you know, a lot of the time savings that people get by being at the Orlando Game Space is because they're working on somewhat similar projects or things that are even tangentially related. If there's something that another team has solved, then and you learn about it, you might save months of development.
Right.
And the thing is that with this being more of a focused, type of co-working space, like it's almost like a collective almost. Mm-hmm. You end up being able to solve each other's problems with not much effort.
Right.
It's not like, you know, we had to, like, do this whole deep dive and everything like that. It's sometimes just a simple conversation between two people, you know, passing in a hallway. And though they may be two separate companies, they have, like, some common, you know, issues or customers or any number of things.
Yeah.
And so people kind of, like, solve problems, you know, with each other, and they create solutions with each other. And we want everybody to grow as well. So that kind of happens. I think, like, that culture and camaraderie comes very natural in a space like this. And so, like, it's even the small companies can still get access to a culture, you know, of maybe a larger studio.
Right. Now you worked with the local company called Fat Merchant for a few years. And meanwhile you had this side hustle, right?
Yeah.
That was Indienomicon and the game space, and how did you balance that? How were you able to, you know, obviously I believe if I recall correctly, you had a very understanding boss over at Fat Merchant that knew what you were working on, right? Knew what you were doing. Talk about that a little bit, just the balance of trying to make it work.
Sure. The thing is, like, Fat Merchant is a company that's, like, very near and dear to my heart.
Mm-hmm.
Like, you know, because I met Sunira 4 years ago. She came to a lean
startup. For those out there, pardon me for interrupting. Yeah, yeah. Fat Merchant is a financial services type company that's here based in Orlando. They've been here, and they've grown from a startup a few years ago to like 70-80 companies in like several locations across the country. Not to overstate it, but they have a couple offices in different parts of the country.
It's tremendous, and that's, you know, so much of blood, sweat, and tears has gone into it, you know, from some of the founding team. The Fat Merchant, this fintech company.
What number were you?
I saw maybe like 4 or 5.
That's what I thought. Yeah, that's right, something. Yeah.
It was in that early part, like, it was like we were all not even like full time, essentially. Like, we were there for a little bit and then we had to balance things. But yeah, you know, the thing is, met Sunira, the founder, the CEO, co-founder of Fat Merchant at an event called Lean Startup Machine.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, she was pitching her idea there, and nobody joined her team. And I remember I was actually there as a mentor, and so I was actually...
Was it like a hackathon type thing?
Kind of, a
weekend type thing?
Kind of like a startup weekend. Yeah. It was more about like thinking about the business like okay. process itself versus okay. like building something. But yeah. nonetheless, like I think she was working on a project that was like basically Fitbit for dogs.
Yeah.
and we just became friends from there. Like, you know, she was moving her...
Fitbit for dogs, huh?
Basically.
Yeah, interesting. Yeah.
And so, you know... I think she was moving.
That's a free idea for you guys out there.
Yeah, you run with it. Sunira's gonna take care of Fat Merchant and do Fitbit for dogs. So you know, I think she was moving her offices into downtown Orlando. Mm-hmm. She was, you know, setting up in the Angerville building, and you know, like she was going around town, like saying, like, "Hey, I'm doing this thing, like Fat Merchant. You're just gonna be like this, you know, Costco for payments, and you know, it's gonna be like, you know." It was at that point, it was still very like the messaging was not clear, right. and there's a lot of things being figured out, but nonetheless, it was like a very promising idea. And you can,
well, I don't want to make this too much about Fat Merchant, however, I mean, what you bring up, I think, is would be interesting for me to talk to for you to talk about, because I think it also relates to what you are doing here in the sense that she was going around trying, obviously, pitching her idea. But more importantly, which we've talked about this offline a couple of times, what the value that she would provide to potential customers. Talk about how important it is to get your value across. Figure out what your value is, and then be able to tell potential investors or customers why they need that in their life.
Yeah, I mean, I think that was a very like important thing that was able to like get customers is like mm-hmm. you need to save money.
Right.
You know, like you're leaving money on the table. Mm-hmm. And, you know, why would you not want, you know, something that's a little bit more predictable and not variable? You know, like, you kind of will know what your bill will be. And, you know, you're not having a partner that's taking money off of every one of your transactions. Mm-hmm. So it was, a value prop that resonated with me. And then being in downtown as well, right. like, you know, I'd stop over every so often, stop over for an hour. Hey, how's it going? Like, and then... you know, spend a little more time, and then, like, there's, like, some tech work that was needed. It's like, hey, we need this on our website. Mm-hmm. Hey, we need to do this and that. And then, like, little by little, like, I just kind of became, like, you know.
Like a contract like, work turned into, like, full-time gig type of thing?
Something, yeah. Even then, like, I did, you know, didn't take any pay for over a year. Like, none of us, like, had any money for that. But, like, nonetheless, like, it was like you could see the value, you could see the hustle, you could see the drive, and, you know, I saw the value of, like, a really, you know, hardworking, hustling team mm-hmm. That had the right value proposition, that had all that kind of stuff. And it was convenient that, you know, my game studio was here in downtown.
Right.
And so...
But what was the game studio called?
Fiken Media.
Fiken. Okay, that's what it was.
And so, you know, built that...
Where did that name come from?
So it came from, like, one of my best friends, Ken Pariser.
Okay.
He and I went to University of Miami together. And okay. We both studied computer science. And, you know, we were like, we wanted to have a game studio. And it was like, hey, you're going to write accounting software, or you're going to make a video game studio?
Right.
And so, like, the name came from, honestly, like, it was even before my time, I think. Some friends were, like, trying to figure out a cool name.
Mm.
And it was, like, 2 o'clock at night. They couldn't figure anything out. And then they literally were, like, on the last... minute before they threw everything away and said, like, we're not coming up with a company. Like, they saw a physics book on the ground and then looked up and saw Ken sitting in a chair. So that became Fiken. And it was like, we'll think of a better name later. But then it just really kind of stuck.
That's hilarious. I remember coming to town and seeing that name. I'm like, it must be like a, I don't know, like a last name of someone he knows mm-hmm. or something. I don't know. That's hilarious.
But, like, you know, Ken and I, like, you know, we're two kids and with a dream and a hustle. And, you know, we started putting together things and hired people from FIA and mm-hmm. put together a couple games.
FIA is the UCF's video game school.
Right, their
Florida,
master's program.
Florida Interactive Entertainment Academy, yeah.
So, like, that school here is, like, the number one or number two game development school in the nation.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe in the world, maybe.
Yeah, all I've ever seen is the U.S. rankings. Like, U.S. News and World Report always puts those out. And
yeah.
I see Full Sail on there and UCF as well. Yeah.
So the thing is, we would hire people from there. We put the company together, like... Basically, every mistake you could make, we made. Every positive that you could have within an indie studio we had. Mm-hmm. So we saw it all. Mm-hmm. And you know, like, we had, like, a really good run. We had, like, you know, some games that came together. Mm-hmm. But it taught a lot, you know, in terms of, like, how... What are the pitfalls, too? Mm-hmm. And really, what are the gaps?
What are some of the pitfalls? I mean, what are some of, the lessons that you've learned along the way? Like obviously, we're hoping to... you know, there are other people coming up behind you. UCF has a big, of course, entrepreneurial school, and, mm-hmm. and other schools as well. What are some of the lessons that you've learned that you kind of you wish you had known, like, before you started?
I mean, just really how difficult it is to, like, yeah. scale a company. How difficult marketing is. How mm-hmm. difficult your go-to market is. How difficult it is to gain customers. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, all of those things. You know, the thing is, here, it really felt like we were living in an island. Mm-hmm. You could have had, you know, like the 6-7 employees that we had there, like, at least for Viking Media, you know, like, they were, like, top tier talent. Here in Orlando and anywhere else, they would have been, like, you know, in high demand, you know, maybe even making 6 figures.
Right.
But
right.
not here, mm-hmm. not here in Orlando. And it was because, like, we just didn't have a community that was connected.
Right.
Like,
right.
It was like, we were one studio, but where are all these other studios?
Like, and I'm sorry for interrupting, but what I think is interesting is that that's where you were several years ago. This wasn't necessarily, it's easy now to look at it and be like, oh yeah, of course they're organized. Yeah. But back then it was, you had Electronic Arts over here, you had Iron Galaxy, right? You had a little thing here.
They were just starting out, yeah, and then there's N-Space. And
N-Space, you know, but those were like the three that people knew about, but there were so many others. I mean, and today's world, I mean, I'm going to exaggerate because I'm not that smart, but I take a development class. I build a game in school at FIA, for example, or Full mm-hmm. Sail. I come out the other end and I say, oh, let me try to build this. All of a sudden, I'm a company, right? That's very simplified, of course.
Yeah,
but I mean, you know, in today's technology world, you could do that. Now, 90% of them fizzle out.
Yeah.
And back
probably
then,
even higher.
Back then, probably even a lot higher because there was nowhere to go. But I think, you know, the Indianomicon community, like, again, it's easy to look at it now and say, oh, yeah, of course. But 4 years ago, that did not exist. There was no place for yeah. these people to showcase their games. You know, no matter how good or bad the games were, there's places to go and to get feedback. No, sometimes the feedback is, maybe you shouldn't do this.
Yeah.
Sometimes the feedback is, hey, this has more potential maybe than you even thought.
Right.
Tell, you know, the feedback loop, why is that a big deal? For startup especially.
Yeah, well, I mean, part of this even goes to, like, with Viking Media. You know, the thing was, like, we were within, like, a little glass bowl, like a fishbowl, like, almost. Like, we were within our own world,
mm-hmm.
and we just weren't able to get a lot of, like, people looking at our stuff outside of friends and family.
Wow.
And you know, really the thing is, like, you almost, like, even though you might have, like, you know, 7 people, it's still the opinion of 7 people that are closely, you know, in close proximity to each other. And so getting feedback from other people, from the community, other perspectives, other age groups, all these other things, like, makes a huge difference before
right.
you go into the market. And then on top of it, it's connections too. Like, you know, people will ask you questions like, hey, have you done this? Have you mm-hmm. thought about that? What about this? Do you know this person? Oh, by the way, this person, I know this person,
yeah.
and that person. Like, you know, it's like, you think about the connecting points, like almost like a little spider web, like
mm-hmm.
just that, okay, if there's only like 5, 6, 7 people, like, okay, you're all building something. And then,
and for the listeners out there, he's making finger gestures that probably do not help you all at all.
No. It helps me, like, think through things.
Right.
But just to say, like, you know, you have just like these few people, and
right.
they're reaching out to their most immediate network. But
mm-hmm.
imagine if you had, you know, like 100 people, 200 people, 500 people that were all taking a look at your game, who want to help you because, like, you're part of Orlando,
mm-hmm.
you know, you're part of this community. And then you have all these perspectives, good, bad, helpful, not helpful,
right.
but nonetheless, like, it helps. And then you have people that are thinking about the other hard aspect
mm-hmm.
of, like, actually going to market.
Right, right.
You know, and so, you know, they say that it takes a village, like, it really does. And the thing is that village didn't exist
mm-hmm.
for a very long time.
Right.
And it caused, you know, a lot of problems. It caused, you know, like a lot of like pitfalls. It caused like every problem you could think of that goes into a startup. And I guess obviously very, very much so like an indie game studio too.
Right.
That like you have to shift gears and then all of a sudden you have to take on contract work. Mm-hmm. You have to, you know, like do that to keep the lights on. And then you have to figure out like, well, you know, how do I get the attention of this person and that person? How do I get the attention of a publisher?
What I think is interesting about this whole industry, I'm a gamer, obviously. I've been a gamer for a very long time. But what I think is interesting about the actual, like, the building of this industry, you have, in today's world, you have skills that you apply to other disciplines. Like, you guys do work for VR companies now, or do VR work for businesses now. I mean, you know, and essentially, the way I've heard it in different, you know, industries is, you know, you do the work you can do to keep the lights on so you can keep doing the stuff you want to do, or something along those lines. Yeah. You know, and maybe one day one of your games hits, and then there you go, right?
Right.
Talk to me about that, the pressures of, you know, not that you guys are, like, flailing, right? But you know, in the early days, when you just have to land that contract, because if you want to keep up what you want to do.
Right.
You landed a decent one with NASA,
yeah.
Which is, you know, a pretty cool
yeah.
gear that you guys built. That was awesome. But, you know, what is that for you when you do get those contracts, get those deals? You know, can you walk me through something like that? Like, how does that work?
So, you know, part of it is like you, over time, you just need to be able to polish yourself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like every single time, you know, you run into problems, it's like, well, how do we prevent ourselves from having that same problem again?
Mm.
You know, or, you know, we figured this out. Like, can we now make it possible that the next time we take on a project, the operating cost is a little bit less, or like the cost to produce the next project is a little bit lower? What efficiencies are we getting? Are we documenting like some of this stuff? Are we putting it down anywhere?
Mm.
Like, that's the kind of stuff that turns it into a real company. If things aren't written down, you know, like, you're not a real company.
Right.
And so, you know, part of it was just, like, as we were taking on, like, more and more of these projects, or we're doing some more of these events, it was just trying to get some of it written down and making sure that there's more people that have this knowledge than just, like, me or Ken. Or, you know, like...
So you already saw kind of the future path where if you do get more people involved,
yeah.
you're going to have the manual, so to speak, down right. for, yeah. yeah.
It, you know, like, it's interesting that, like, you know, over these years, like, you do so much growth as a company, as an individual, as, like, a friend, as a boyfriend, as a husband, as a, you know, employee, right. as a co-worker, like, all these kind of things, like... You know, this journey in terms of the startup world is more than just your initial, like, your company itself.
Mm-hmm.
It's really the relationship that you have with all the people around you, as well as, like, you know, how you operate the company. You know, I would say that, you know, over the past few years, like, definitely learned a lot in terms of, like, you know, all the things that we do to build up a company are... How do we make it better tomorrow? Mm-hmm. And then how do we make it better for, like, other companies too? And mm-hmm. what problems are other people facing? And then, you know, also thinking about, like, what if we team up? Like, what are situations where we would work together and now all of a sudden it lowers all of our costs, or it makes
it possible? Well, that's where you are here. You have GameSpace where you're sharing space with some of the people you've worked with in the past.
Yeah.
And then, I mean, that I thought that was a fascinating aspect of this whole thing.
Yeah. So, I mean, it took a while. It took a lot of conversations. It took a lot of, you know, friendships. It mm-hmm. took a lot of, like, looking at past mistakes and figuring out what to change to figure out, like, how to build out a proper funnel. You know, to say that, hey, you know, we have IndieNomicon for the broader community.
Mm-hmm.
We have things like game jams, these hackathons that we do, these cross-industry ones too, where we work with the space industry or right. the healthcare industry or whatever, that the community comes to.
Mm-hmm.
And only a fraction of the community comes to it. So then that tells you that those are the people that, you know, are maybe the most engaged or the hardest hustlers or the people that can prove themselves. And now you know who you want to associate with.
Right.
Who do you want to hire? Who do you want to be your coworker? Who do you want to be your co-founder? All that kind of stuff. And then from there, you know, maybe a connection happens. Mm-hmm. Maybe you find a project. Yeah. Maybe, you know, some contract manifests itself out of it. And then you can find money.
Yeah.
And then from that, like, the next step is, where do you work? You know? That led to the game space.
And there's this concept out there of serendipity in the startup world, right? Mm-hmm. Where you just there's so many meetups and groups out there that you the next co-founder could be any person you run into in some of those things. I mean, you know, and I know that when you go to Indianomicon, those meetups, I mean, there's a lot of people there. There's a good number. I mean, obviously, you know, they're all passionate about video games. Some of them don't have any idea what they're doing and just have, you know, want to feel the vibe of the video game community, yeah. Right? Others are building and others are further along. You know, talk about the importance of, like, being able to have a community where you can, all these connections do happen, and how you're able to really help foster them.
So, you know, it's part of it is just kind of like almost like thinking of things as like a funnel and buckets,
yeah.
You know, like, and you try to work on each thing, you know, almost separately, you know, so there's like a board for Indienomicon,
mm-hmm.
and, you know, it's goal is to like create this sense of community, because, like, you know, one of the things that we learned, you know, when we talked to people that were moving out of the city, actually, you know, like, Indienomicon was born out of, like, you know, kind of this desire to make certain that our friends stayed here. You know, these friends and relationships that we had, you know, here, in terms of, like, here in Orlando, like, people would move off to Seattle or San Francisco or Austin or New York or whatever. And you know, it wasn't always just, oh, well, there's a better job and I'm making now, like, you know, six figures and doing this and that. Like, sometimes, like, it was a combination of many things. And a common thing that I heard oft, you know, was, like, hey, I just didn't have, like, you know, a place to hang out.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I didn't have a place that I could say was home, you know. That was a problem.
Right.
Because that was something that's more than just, you know, hey, I had a better job. It's like, there's something legitimately wrong with this place, this mm-hmm. region, right. This city, that even a good position would not solve. And so then I realized that it was a multifaceted problem that we had here. And so there was not going to be a silver bullet.
Right, right.
And so it started that journey of almost like, you know, like, there's this saying, like, you know, connecting the dots,
mm-hmm.
right? And when you connect the dots, it paints a picture. Well, the thing is, like, I think, there was a good number of years where all we did was, like, identify dots so that we could connect those dots in the future. And you know...
So that was deliberate.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
So everything that's happening over the past few years, the things that came together, it was identifying dots, like, as in things here in the community, mm-hmm. the assets that we have here in the community, the different communities, the different bubbles, like, hey, you know, there's a space thing on the coast, like, right. You know, these NASA people,
right?
And then, like, there's this whole healthcare related, you know, community that's over here. And there's
Lake Nona has a coming up.
Yeah. There's this simulation, you know, industry, mm-hmm. this modeling simulation training industry that apparently Orlando is like the number one in the entire world. Okay, that's a thing.
Yeah.
There's this, like, advanced sensor group over mm-hmm. there. There's all
the theme parks. Coming up, yep.
All these theme parks, like Disney World,
yep.
You know, if anybody's heard of that. And then, you know, like, all these other things. And then there's all the sports and entertainment that we have here with the sports teams.
Right.
We have the video game industry here.
Right.
And I was just thinking, like, wow, like, some cities hope that they could even have one industry. Mm-hmm. We have, like, six or seven.
Right.
And so why are we all struggling? Like, yeah. why is this struggle so hard? You know, it's not just a matter of, like, well, life is hard, you know, like, and everything is, should be that way. It's like hearing the stories of the people that left. Some of it was money.
Mm-hmm.
Some of it was culture. Some of it was, you know, like, just timing. And it just made me realize, like, wow, you know, like, there's so much more that needs to be done. So, you know, things came together, you know, where...
How big of a strain is that, do you think, when people do start leaving and you know, I mean, obviously it pushed you to action, which, yeah, which is a good thing. But how big of a strain can that be, like, on a community as you know, I mean, UCF, as you know, every year graduates so many people.
Yeah.
But every year so many of them leave too, right?
Sure, yeah.
Like, how big of a strain is that on a startup community when some of your best talent, and you know, Facebook and Google, they're going to find them, they're going to come out and they're going to recruit them.
Yeah.
And they're going to get them out there, they're going to give them a lot of money.
And I mean, it's not to say that, like, only Orlando can be the best in the right, world. Right. Like, no, it's more of like, you know, for the people that believe that Orlando is a really great place to live, and this is where you want to, like, live, work, and play, you legitimately have a shot at doing that,
mm-hmm.
right? That you want to do that, and you have the opportunity to do that, and you shouldn't have to sacrifice, you know, like living here. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, like, that I really love the weather here, but I'm going to have to deal with getting punched in the face all the time.
right.
Like, you shouldn't have to deal with that. you know, I think it's a case of, like, brain drain is a major factor, mm-hmm. you know, that, yeah. that can hurt a community, hurt a city, hurt the ability of startups to be a thing,
right.
Because, like, if they don't have access to talent, that's a really tough thing.
Yeah. As a company scales, they're going to need people to build whatever is next for them, and sometimes you don't have those bodies.
Yeah, and so there's a professional reason, there's a personal reason on why, you know, we had to, like, build out this community and build out these companies and do the work that we had to do. Because, like, you know, when your friends and family leave, it's a punch to the gut. Mm-hmm. And we wanted to stop that. We wanted to stop the brain drain that was happening here. And we wanted to build, you know, essentially the building blocks and the resources that are needed to make really strong companies so that, you know, in the future, Orlando's our playground.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You know, like, when I want to go out there and I want to play, and I want to play, you know, like, you know, a fun game with the big boys, right. and know I have a legitimate shot at a world-class company, I'd like it to be here, you know? Mm-hmm. I'd like to know that that is an opportunity. And it's you know, this multifaceted problem. You got to solve it, you know, piece by piece,
mm-hmm.
and then hope that, you know, the foundation doesn't break, you know, like, underneath you, or, like, something else doesn't derail it.
Right, right.
And so it's tough when you're working on, like, say, 5 different problems that are all necessary to accomplish something.
Well, talk to me. One of the things that, you know, you are identifying problems, but I think you're also presenting solutions. You have the Space Jam coming up. September?
September 6th through the 9th,
yeah. Yeah, and that's basically a weekend long hackathon for space related. Last year there was a cool, like, video game came out of it, and it was cool to see, like, the two kind of disciplines working together.
Yeah.
But, tell me how you've seen it. Like, go back to kind of the first time you tried something like mm-hmm. this, and now to now. There's been growth, obviously. You know, as a startup here, you know, we mentioned in Anomicon, but we're also looking at, you know, these space jams that you're talking about, mm-hmm. these hackathons. You know, as a startup, when you see that growth and you see, how do you kind of ensure or make the likelihood of increased growth more likely?
Yeah.
Like, how do you do? How do you make sure it can keep growing it? Because you need growth, right?
No, you need growth. So I mean, like, it's really just kind of looking at what kind of variables can we put into place.
Mm-hmm.
Looking at what happened last year, what can we do to improve it? You know, we are really in this position to manufacture serendipity,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
right? Like, we cannot control all aspects, but if we can put the right things into place, serendipity, this thing that just kind of feels magic, that right. how things just came together, will be there.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, that's what we want to do. And from that, you know what? I don't know. Some people might get hired. Some people right. will find a project. Somebody walk by and like, wow, you know, I've had this thing that I wanted to get made, and I didn't know who to turn to, and, you know, that's where they met somebody. Honestly, like, even Indienomicon itself, that community, that meetup mm-hmm. that would happen, like, a lot of the co-founders met each other for the first time
mm-hmm.
at a game jam in January of 2013.
Right.
And so we saw the energy from that, and then we were like, we should keep this going. So that led to a meetup. Mm. The meetup then led to like, okay, wow, we're meeting all these friends. You know, how do we create more business? Mm-hmm. How do we create more connections between the community? And, you know, it involved like being a little bit drunk at a bar, like after a meetup,
right.
Where, you know, myself and Peter Smith and a few other folks, like, we're just talking and you're like, you know what? Like, does anybody know an astronaut? Does anybody know the Space Coast? Like, how do we have this NASA, right. like, thing, this Kennedy Space Center literally 45 minutes down the road and we don't know anybody?
Right.
So, like, why don't... It was partly, like, smart and strategic and partly selfish in that, like, man, space is awesome. We should do a game jam about space. Let's get some space folks over here. Right. And
last year you had Space Florida there, and last year, I think, you know, this year you would have them as well.
Yeah, they joined in year two, and now we're approaching year five. But it took 1 year to make certain that we weren't crazy, and that we could actually do what we claimed to do for them to join. But, you know, once they joined us, they've helped, like, in connections and growth and things like that. Mm. And that's a common thing within this community, within this industry, is, like, you need to prove to people you can do it before they, like, you know, stop being tire kickers.
Right, right.
And that's what we did. We tried to, you know, create those industry connections, and then business came out of it. We proved to people that, hey, game developers are way more than just making, you know, entertainment games. They can actually do things.
There had to be a process to convince people that were not involved in video games that video games could help them.
Right.
Yeah. I want to put a disclaimer in here. I have to put a disclaimer here because I want everyone to know that Kunal is just like full of unicorns and sunshine. I mean, you know the real. I've known you for about three, almost going on 4 years now, and you know the reality.
I know the harsh realities of everything. Yeah.
So I know a lot of this talk has been like like pumping up Orlando. And frankly, I'm the same way. I like Orlando a lot, and I think there's a lot here.
Yeah.
I think I've told you my theory many times that there's a lot here. It's just a matter of uniting them and pushing toward the same goal.
Yeah.
So it's exciting to kind of see what's been going on, the fact that you were able to see an opportunity and kind of like wrangling in the Space Coast, because I mean that's a lot of tech out there.
It is, yeah. And it's an underutilized resource that we have here, and there's tons more, you know, to grow and connect here. Yeah. I mean, like with this upcoming year, we're gonna have the arts community involved now too, because like our Thursday night event will be at the Orlando Museum of Art.
Did that come like? Did they see what you were doing? They wanted part of, or did you reach out to them?
No, we reached out to them. Okay. Like, it's interesting.
Makes it easier that you have some like track record.
So we have some track record. Yeah. So it's interesting. Like, even it wasn't even us initially. In years prior, I think we maybe reached out, but the timing wasn't good. We didn't have enough money, or you know, but we knew we wanted to get the arts community involved. And a few months prior, in April 2018, like, we created this event called Mega Health Jam with Health Innovators, which is another group here in town. But it was the, you know, that intersection between healthcare and gaming technologies, right? And that created a lot of really great activity. It united Lake Nona and then the rest of the region. But one of the connections we made there actually said, like, wow, you know, this is really amazing, all these creators working on things, you know, you guys should do something with the arts community. And like, yeah, I've been wanting to.
You're like, we've been trying.
And then he made a couple calls and some connections, and then he made this connection to the Orlando Museum of Art, and then that led to meeting them and then talking about it. And then UCF is holding their something called UCF Eclectic, you know, their 10th anniversary there. And so just had conversations with them, and it was like, wow, okay, we could do some things together. So even that Thursday night and the union with the arts community wouldn't have happened if we hadn't interacted with the healthcare community that resulted in connection there. So that goes towards the serendipity.
Yeah, exactly, right? Exactly.
And who knows what will happen this year when you have the arts community there mixed with the space community, mixed with the games community. Yeah.
You just don't know who's interested in what, right? And the way you get them together, just say, here's an event. Everyone's in. Well, by the way, they happen to have multiple.
And you got to make it fun.
Yeah. Right.
You got to make it fun. Like, that was the other thing that I learned over the years is, like, yeah, fine. You can have some pizza. You could have some beer.
Mm-hmm.
People say hi, hello, and then they go back home. And then, you know, that it's like you didn't meet your life best friend there.
Right.
You got to get people to, one, they got to come out and have fun.
Mm-hmm.
I almost think of things now as like, can this be a date night?
Right.
If you go with that approach, then if you bring your significant other, they're not going to be bored out of their mind. It's actually fun. It's memorable. You want to take pictures. Is this whole thing Instagrammable?
Right.
You know, like
all these things you have to like consider nowadays.
That's all important to do. And then if it's like, you know what, we're going to do science stand up comedy, mm-hmm. and like people laugh and they're like, what, are you crazy? Are you bonkers? And I'm like, no, but is it funny? Would you go? And I'm like, yeah. Well, guess what? That's a whole lot better than just like a bland lecture.
Right.
So
informative lecture. Like
informative,
you call
them. Yeah.
So, well, Kunal, I thank you very much for joining me here, and obviously a lot of big things happening for you guys at the Game Space, at Inamicon, at the Space Jam, like all this stuff that you guys are working on. So
yeah,
thanks so much for being here. I appreciate it.
Yeah, no, thank you. I know there's a lot of intersection points in the things I do, but I'd say thank you for taking the time. And if any of you out there are interested in the games community or really how that new emerging tech of VR mm-hmm. and AR can work, I mean, reach out to the Orlando Games.
You're very accessible. You're all over town.
Yes, doing search for Kunal Patel, and you'll probably find me.
All right, everyone. Thanks for listening. We'll see you again next week, or talk to you again next week. Bye.